Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune. You can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need a realtor in the Greenville, South Carolina area or outside the Greenville, South Carolina area. I can hook you up with realtors all over the country. Just let me know. And please, if you like this show, please subscribe, rate, leave a comment, kind review, whatever you can do on whatever app you're listening or watching this show on. It's on YouTube if you want to watch on there. So please support the show in those ways. And support the show as well by supporting our sponsor. Our sponsor is Piper Insurance Group. They're going to be excited to find out what today's topic is. They're not paying me anything extra for talking about homeowners insurance, but that's what we are talking about today. But Piper Insurance Group are my go-to for home, auto, and umbrella insurance. They're an independent insurance agency, so they can quote multiple different companies and give you the best possible rate that they can find. They're licensed in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. So even if you dabble outside of this area, you can find them. I don't know why my dog was just barking, so I apologize for that. You might hear kids in the background as well. There's kids at my house. It's crazy right now, but I'm doing the best I can for you guys. Piper Insurance Group. They also help you with investment properties and commercial properties as well, fix and flips, new construction, all of that good stuff. So their information is in the contact information in the show notes. Sorry, my dog barking completely messed me up here. But you can get their information in the show notes, Piper Insurance Group. And after listening to this, you will for sure want to reach out to them. So please do that and talk to them to get a free quote today. All right. So today, as I'm recording this on October 7th. Hurricane Helene is still very much on my mind, and how we have another hurricane brewing in the Gulf, Hurricane Milton, which is rapidly gaining strength. It's already a Cat 5, despite having only been a cyclone for a couple of days at this point. And thankfully, it doesn't look like it's going to impact us here in South Carolina too much, or if at all. But nonetheless, all these different hurricanes within a really short period of time really has my mind thinking about what all this means for real estate, for my career in real estate, for my home buyers, for my home sellers. And unfortunately, it really doesn't mean a whole lot of positives, right? There's nothing positive about a destructive storm. And obviously, the most negative thing out of it, beyond, you know, obviously loss of life, loss of property for people, loss of lifestyles for people, but specifically just from a business standpoint, right? I don't want this to sound heartless, but this isn't a podcast that's about, you know, all that's going on about the local news or anything like that. So I'm not going to, if you guys want stories about what's happening in Greenville beyond what I talked about last week or what's happening in Western North Carolina, there's better shows, better content out there for you than this. This is a real estate podcast. This is what I'm going to stay focused on, and hopefully that doesn't sound too harsh. But there are other people out there that are better content sources for what's happening. So I'm not going to talk about that anymore. I'm going to talk about the real estate ramifications about these storms and specifically how it impacts homeowners insurance. And unfortunately, when storms like this happen in our area, homeowners insurance always go up, right? Especially if there's multiple storms in a short period of time, that's what happens. And so we can brace for homeowners insurance or property insurance to be increasing in future years as a direct result of these storms. That's just the reality of the situation. Now, this episode might seem a little depressing from that standpoint, because we can't control the weather, we can't control homeowners insurance directly. But if you stick around to the end, I will have some, I believe, very helpful things for you guys that you can do in order to limit the impact of these climate and weather events on your insurance premium. So listen to the entire episode, because at the end is where it's going to get really practical. I'm not just going to leave you guys all depressed and heartbroken about the situation. There are some real steps that you can take to help yourself out. But I want to give a little bit of background information before we get into the weeds on, you know, what's happening with the what I'm calling the homeowners insurance crisis here in South Carolina. Now, before I even get into all of that, just a reminder, I used to be an insurance adjuster, so I come at this from a little bit of a different angle than some people do. I know the ins and outs of the claims process quite well. And so So I have some real life experience in this. I'm not just talking as a realtor with book knowledge. I have actual knowledge, real life knowledge of how this works. I've made multiple claims myself, so I've been on that side of the equation too, where I've had to actually make homeowners insurance claims, both on my own property and on rental properties. And so to kind of lay the foundation, now that you guys know that I'm a reliable source of information on this, homeowners insurance has been really an essential part of real estate for many decades. But that being said, in my opinion, the homeowners insurance model in our country is completely broken. And the biggest problem for me is that homeowners insurance has become essentially a government-mandated thing in our country by virtue of the fact that the primary loan products that the vast majority of people use to purchase their homes, conventional and FHA loans, are both functionally government subsidized. And both of these loan products require homeowners insurance. I've talked about this briefly in the past and at different times, but we're going to talk about this in more detail here and what this means. So essentially, the government has created artificial demand for the homeowners insurance market by forcing people to purchase it. Piper Insurance Group, if you're listening, I'll tell you when it's safe to come back on. Obviously, no insurance company or brokerage wants to hear that, but it's the reality of the situation. And I mean, the good thing for them is that it's not going to change anytime soon. And I just want to say, in case that comes like as a big surprise, that like, oh, you know, I've never really thought about it, that that homeowners insurance is essentially subsidized by the government, or at least the demand for it is artificial demand that's subsidized by the government. It's not the case in many other countries, in most other countries. In fact, even developed countries like Japan, I don't know much about their insurance model, but I know that it's commonplace in Japan for homes to be completely bulldozed and rebuilt after a couple of decades, even in a shorter period of time. That I know people that currently live over there or have lived over there, and in some cases, it's like after 5 years, a home will be bulldozed and rebuilt. It's crazy. But the American expectation is very different. Our expectation typically is that a home will last indefinitely, and that home will be able to weather infinite storms and regardless of construction quality. And that idea, that's just not shared with most of the world. But because here in the U.S. we have 30-year mortgages, which is also something that is very, very rare. I mean, that is an American phenomenon, I can tell you that. The idea of a 30-year mortgage, these homes need to last for at least 30 years, right? Because if they don't, then banks aren't going to lend money for 30 years on these homes. And now they're talking about 40-year mortgages. That's a terrible idea for on multiple different levels. But regardless, this is what we are. This is the unique situation that we find ourselves in, is because of all of these things. Homeowners insurance is just a reality that we can't get away from for the most part here in the U.S. And so this is why it has so much traction, why almost everyone has homeowners insurance in the United States, even though in other countries they might not have it. And if they do have it as an option, it's not going to be as widespread as here in the U.S. But we have a few problems with our homeowners insurance model beyond what I've already said about it essentially being an artificial demand kind of situation, which always results in supply being a problem, right? Whenever the government causes artificial demand for something, then it causes supply constraints, causes prices to go up. I'm not going to get into all of that right now. I want to talk more about meat and potatoes, not you know, abstract economic things here. So the first thing that to me is something that I think is really important to kind of think about, that probably some of you have already thought about, maybe some of you haven't. But first and foremost, having fake supply for homeowners insurance creates what economists would call a moral hazard by disincentivizing builders to build a home well, right? Imagine if we didn't have homeowners insurance, if that wasn't a thing, but banks still needed to lend money on homes, which they always will. Inspections would be heavily focused on home structure. Right now, that's really not a huge emphasis on home inspections, right? They do look at the home structure, but if there's, you know, nothing major, if it's built according to code and all of that, it it passes. I mean, there's people, I hate to use the word pass, because inspections on homes are not pass fail kind of things. But structurally, most homes are going to pass, even if they could not weather a hurricane. If we didn't have homeowners insurance, that would then trickle down to building codes, right? This is also a part of the thing. Building codes, obviously, would be much stricter on weather resistance. And so the entire process from building a home to buying a home would be radically different and would require better construction if we didn't have homeowners insurance. Additionally, another problem is that storms have, quite frankly, been getting worse and more frequent in the Atlantic, in the Gulf. And in other places as well, but those are the two oceans that are the most important for the purposes of South Carolina, so that's what I'm going to be focused on here. And I'm not going to speculate on why storms are getting worse and more frequent, because that will open me up to controversy that I'm quite frankly not in the mood to discuss on here, because I'm already arguing with people on Facebook about whether these storms were manufactured by the U.S. government, which I think is insane that some people believe that, but that's neither here nor there. I just opened myself up to controversy regardless, so I'm not going to open myself up to more. But just understand that regardless of the why, storms are more of a problem now than they were 40 or 50 years ago, and there's oodles and oodles of data to demonstrate that. And it's not manufactured data, it is just data, okay? The books are not being cooked on this for some climate agenda purpose, I promise you guys. It is real, it is happening, and you can just look up the frequency of named storms and you'll see that things have gotten worse in many different ways. Now, here's a wrinkle that some of you may not know. Property insurance companies have insurance on themselves, known as reinsurance. And often what happens is reinsurance rates go up, causing then the actual homeowners insurance rates to increase in kind as well, right? Because the insurance companies have to make money. So if they're spending all this money reinsuring themselves, they have to recoup that in one way or another. Well, guess what happened this year? According to the publication Reuters, some areas that had a lot of natural disasters saw reinsurance increase in 2024 by 50%, right? On January 1st, some homeowners insurance companies in some areas of the country saw their reinsurance rates go up on January 1st by 50%. Whereas areas that weren't impacted by major weather events saw little or no increase. Okay, so that increase was in the areas specifically that had a lot of natural disasters. Areas without the natural disasters did not see these sorts of increases. So long story short, homeowners insurance costs are going up in areas like South Carolina that see more natural disasters, right? Because we've got a lot of coastline, we have hurricanes and tropical storms and whatnot, the occasional tornado, things of that nature. So insurance costs in the Southeast region as a whole have been going up faster than much of the U.S. Really, any coastal areas are seeing that. And I actually have some stats on this that I think are going to be interesting for you guys. Let me find it for those of you on YouTube that you can actually follow along here. The average, hold on, I apologize for this. I'm going to screen share. So again, if you're on YouTube, you can see this. If only it were very simple to do this. It actually is quite simple to do this, but my brain is just not firing. All right, here we go. I'm showing a chart that shows the change in average property insurance payments since 2019, all right? So here's what has happened. The average monthly insurance payment is up 52% on average in the United States, up 52% since the start of 2020, with increases in some higher risk areas as high as 90% over that same period. So if you're looking at this, you can see Deltona, Florida, 90% increase since the beginning of 2020. Massive increase. Now, if you're looking at this, none of the top cities that are listed here are in South Carolina. So that's really, really fantastic news. We've got Florida. We've got Louisiana. We have Utah, interestingly. We have Idaho, interestingly. I've got a theory on why Boise City is on here. We've got Colorado, a couple cities there, Texas, Arizona, several in California, Washington, Oregon, Nebraska, and that's pretty much it. I might have missed one or two. But for the most part, this is heavily concentrated with Florida and California, and with a little bit of like Arizona and Utah sprinkled in there. Those are the main states that have seen increases in recent years. Now, while insurance premiums, these increases that are happening are due in part to higher home prices, okay? And this is, I reference Boise City. This is what's happening in Boise City, right? Home prices soared during the pandemic. A lot of people flocked there. Idaho is a beautiful state, my understanding. So a lot of people went there for cheaper homes. Well, guess what? As soon as all those people went there, the homes got expensive again. And when homes get expensive, homeowners insurance has to go up. Why? Because the lenders, again, they want the insurance to cover the entirety of the mortgage, which is obviously a great idea. You don't want to have your home destroyed and then you have to pay out of pocket to have it rebuilt when you already had insurance on it. And so this is what's happening. As home costs go up, homeowners insurance has to also go up because they're having to cover a higher amount. So it's a double whammy on housing affordability, unfortunately. That being said, however, these increases aren't entirely due to the fact that home prices have been going up a lot over the past few years, because also the cost of homeowners insurance per $1,000 of coverage has also been rising as well. I'm going to unshare this, and I'm going to share something else. I don't think I shared the right thing. I'm going to try this one more time. Okay. Zoom is acting really weird for me. I record this currently on Zoom, and it's acting really strange, but hopefully you guys can actually see what I want you to see, because it's not working on my end the way I'm hoping it will. But I'm looking at the average annual insurance premium per $1,000 of coverage. And as you can see here, the annual insurance premium per $1,000 in coverage has risen from an average of $4.65 from 2013 to 2022 up to $5.38, or $5.28 rather, in 2024, and specifically in July of 2024. And that's up 12%, 57 cents over the past 19 months. So we're seeing some big increases. What does that mean? For every $1,000 of insurance coverage, you're paying $5.28. If you have $100,000 in homeowners insurance coverage, that costs you $538 per year, as opposed to back in 2013, it would have cost you $475 per year. And actually, if you're looking at this on YouTube, you'll notice that it actually had a little stretch up to 2019 where the premiums were going down. It actually went all the way down to $4.54 per 1,000 between 2018 and 2019. And then since then, it has been on the rise. So what is going on here? Well, this is exactly what I was saying before, is that when storms come around, when we have heavy storm years, those premiums can go up. They can go back down. Okay, this is a segment of the economy where there can be deflationary pressures that happen and that don't cause major problems, right? Deflation, this is counterintuitive, right? Deflation is typically a problem. When prices go down, that typically cripples our economy. And this is why, as inflation slows, we're not talking about prices going down, generally speaking. We're talking about the rate of increase slowing down on how quickly prices are going up. But typically, in most situations, when prices actually do go down, when something costs $100, a year ago now costs $90, typically that's a bad thing. Not going to get into all the economics of that. Most of my listeners know what I'm talking about. In the case of homeowners insurance, It's not a bad thing. It doesn't hurt anyone. It just means that the marketplace is getting competitive. It means that homeowners insurance companies are having to compete with each other by lowering their rates because they haven't had to pay out as many claims. Now, my understanding is that in New Orleans, which has obviously been a major city in an area that frequently gets hit by major hurricanes, and Miami, which is also in a similar boat, not quite as imperiled as New Orleans, but Miami gets hit with plenty of hurricanes as well. Property insurance is roughly $17 per $1,000 in coverage, more than three times the U.S. average. And obviously, higher costs also extend beyond hurricane zones into tornado and hail risks of the central states. This is why, you know, before we saw a heavy contingent of Texas, even inland Texas, like Dallas was on the list, parts of Colorado. This is because of hail and tornadoes primarily. Now, on average, in case you're wondering, insurance premiums account for 9.4% of monthly mortgage payments. That's up from less than 7.7% between 2013 to 2020, hitting their highest share on record this year with that 9.4% number. So if you're paying, I'll just throw out the number, $1,000 towards your mortgage every month, which would be a very low mortgage in today's environment, 9.4% of that, which I believe would be $94, if my math is correct, is going towards your homeowner's insurance. And so that's a lot, right? 94 out of $1,000, 9.4%, not great. We don't want that to happen. So it's going up, is what I'm saying. And it's not just due to prices of homes going up. And it's also worth noting that property insurance coverage amounts are typically based on replacement costs rather than the total underlying value of a home. I alluded to this earlier, but I want to hammer this home because this is also an important data point here. If you own a $500,000 home, but you bought it for $300,000, then your insurance premium might be based on the more closely to the $300,000 number than the $500,000 number, right? Because your mortgage, which is going to be based on the $300,000 number, is going to be the one dictating more so the amount of your coverage. Now, you can ask for more coverage, but usually insurance companies are going to, they're going to run their system that determines, okay, what would it actually cost to rebuild this home? And they're going to say, well, it's still only going to cost you $350,000 to rebuild this home. We might be able to add a little bit onto that, but we can't cover you for the entire value of the home, right? Homeowners insurance is not intended to cover your home value. It's intended to cover the cost of rebuilding your home. Well, as of 2015, on average, homeowners insurance premiums or homeowners insurance coverage covered over 100% of home values. And today that's down to 88%. So it's a problem, right? If your home gets decimated by a storm, you should, and you have insurance on it, you should have the capability of rebuilding it. But what if you're like, you know what? I have other options. I don't want to rebuild it. I just want to take my money and just move on, and we'll just leave an empty lot behind where that home was. Well, you're not going to get the full value of your home. It would make more sense to rebuild it and then sell it, which is kind of clunky. Now, the silver lining here out of all of this, because I know this is depressing, is that South Carolina has not historically been hit by natural disasters and major insurance increases to the extent of some of these other states, as I've already alluded to. And so I take solace in that, right? And particularly Greenville, again, as I said last week, the Hurricane Helene event, very, very rare for us to have a storm like that that hits with such ferocity so far inland. And it was just a strange confluence of events that caused that. But I promised that you guys, I promised you guys that I would give you some practical things. So, I want to go through seven ways that you can help to keep your homeowners and property insurance costs down. You can't control the weather. You can't control what insurance carriers are doing. but you can control things specific to your home and specific to your policy. Because at the end of the day, even if we have great weather, right, generally speaking, if you're making a bunch of homeowners insurance claims, your homeowners insurance premium is going to go up. It's going to go up. And some of the worst ways that, or some of the worst claims from the standpoint of your homeowners going up are unrelated to weather. For instance, liability or theft, people breaking into your home, things of that nature, or people get injured and they sue you, those can really cause your homeowners insurance to skyrocket. So you have to be careful and keep those things in mind. Not everything that is related to your homeowners insurance is related to the weather, but weather plays a massive role. So here are seven things that you can do to help to make sure that you are keeping your insurance premium to a minimum as much as possible. First and foremost, as I've already said, you need to contact Piper Insurance Group. I'm not getting paid double to mention this, but you need to get a get quotes, right? Don't just assume that your insurance coverage is the best coverage that's out there or the cheapest coverage that's out there. Get quotes. Talk to multiple people. See what is out there. Make sure that you're not getting, make sure that your current carrier isn't getting lazy and just raising rates on you without being competitive. I can't tell you how many people I know that have gotten those quotes and realized I can save a ton of money. So please, please don't get, I mean, it doesn't take that, it's not that involved. It's really, really easy to check on something like this. And again, I'm not just saying this because I have an insurance sponsor. I'm not doing any of this because of that. I'm literally, that is, when I was thinking about what are the top things I would tell people to do, that was the number one thing that popped into my head. And I would have said that regardless of our sponsor. So please understand that. Number two, don't make frivolous homeowners insurance claims. And by frivolous, I mean a claim that you could pay out of pocket or that you could live without or that you could fix yourself. If you can avoid an insurance claim, pay out of pocket, fix yourself, et cetera, odds are you will save money in the long run, even if you have to pay money in order to make the repairs. For instance, if you have some siding blown off and it would cost you $2,000 to fix it, do not call your insurance company about that unless you absolutely don't have the money to pay for it out of pocket. Even when you move, by the way, your record of insurance claims stays with you. So you can't escape it, right? If you've made a bunch of claims, if you made expensive claims, that's going to show up on your record. If you have to, do it. But if you don't have to, it's best not to do it. Now, none of this is legal advice, by the way. So if you have a legal situation, please contact an attorney. I don't give legal advice. I'm not allowed to. It's a felony in South Carolina for a non-attorney to give legal advice. I'm not doing that. So miss me with that. Number three, consider a higher deductible, right? A lot of people have a $1,000 deductible, but there are other options. You can go up on that. If you don't think you're going to be making a claim, or perhaps you are of the mindset, I'm only going to make a claim if it's really expensive, then you might be a good candidate for a higher deductible. Talk to your insurance agent or to Piper Insurance Group about that to see what your options are. I personally, for my rental properties, I do a percent deductible on those. Why do I do that? I do that because I'm not planning on making a claim unless it's a really big loss. So I do a 1% deductible, basically 1% of the replacement cost value of my home. That's going to be my deductible. So if it's a if it's a very expensive home, obviously, then that deductible is going to be very, very expensive because it'll be 1% of the replacement cost. So just keep that in mind. But that's a way. If you go up on your deductible, then your premium will come down. And that's a really nice perk and something to consider. Number four, take proactive measures. There's a lot of things that you can do to be proactive in order to make sure that you that you're insulating yourself from potential insurance claims, specifically on the exterior of your home. So, for instance, trim back or cut back trees that are close to your house. Not only are trees close to your house a risk of falling on your home, either the tree itself or just limbs from the tree, but trees over your home also can trap moisture, and they can cause fungus to grow on the roof, which then compromises the structural integrity of the roof, also potentially compromises the insurability of the roof. You know, if your homeowner's insurance comes out, if an adjuster comes out and sees fungus all over your roof, they're going to report that, and you could have a claim denied on the basis of that. So be careful with that. What if your neighbor has a tree, and that tree is a risk to your home? Ask them to address it. Ask them to cut it down, trim it back, whatever you think needs to happen. And if they won't do it, send them a certified letter stating your concern and what you're requesting for them to do about it. If you document your steps properly and damages caused to your home from their tree, they could be deemed at fault. But if you don't do that, it's your fault. I know it's not fair, but anything that is blown into your home is your fault. It doesn't matter where that thing came from. And I shouldn't say it's your fault, but it is your responsibility. I'll say it that way. It is your responsibility, and your homeowner's insurance will cover it, but then they will ding you for it. If you have a neighbor that you feel like is at fault for this, unless you have taken proactive steps and can prove that you've done it, your homeowner's insurance is going to put the responsibility on you. But if you're able to prove that you have made effort, reasonable effort to have your neighbor take care of their problem and that it was an actual problem, then you can provide that proof, and your homeowner's insurance may be able to make a claim against your neighbor. Another thing on here, another proactive measure, make sure your gutters are working properly during a big rain. Like, go out there in an umbrella and look at your gutters. See, are there any that are doing weird things, that aren't sealed properly, downspouts not connected properly, overflowing, et cetera, et cetera. That can cause water damage in your house, which probably isn't going to be covered by your homeowner's insurance. And you don't want damage coming into your house regardless, but certainly not damage that is completely uninsurable. So check on that. Those are a few helpful tips for that. Number five, avoid flood zones, especially since flooding isn't covered by homeowners insurance. This is something that, this is a very simple thing. And obviously, if you're in a flood zone, don't freak out. Don't freak out. It's okay. It's going to be okay. If you've already survived Helene, you're going to be fine, most likely. But if you're out house shopping, my recommendation as a realtor is that you avoid flood zones. Flooding is not covered by homeowners insurance. It's covered by flood insurance, separate policy. And flood insurance is just another cost, and it's very expensive. And it's devastating to lose things to a flood, right? If you have shingles blown off your roof, that's one thing. But if you have, you know, old family photos destroyed by flooding or who knows what, that can be devastating. So my recommendation to most people is to avoid flood zones. Number six, if you're doing an exterior renovation, do not cut corners, okay? Do not cut corners. People love to cut corners on the exterior of their home because it is just aesthetic, but it's not just aesthetic. It is functional. Get a nice roof. Don't get the cheapest roof. Don't get one of those cheap 20-year composition shingles. Don't do it. They're bad. They're susceptible to everything, every possible loss that's out there or every possible risk that's out there. Don't do it. Get durable siding. Don't just get the cheapest vinyl siding. Get something durable and use good contractors. Don't skimp on the contractors. You want people that are actually going to install these things properly. When I used to be an insurance adjuster, I can't tell you how many claims would have never happened had the claimant just used good materials and good contractors when the house was renovated or built or whatever. A lot of it is just poor quality. It's not designed to stand up against high winds or against hail or some of these other things. But there are materials out there that can withstand. Obviously, you know, 75-mile-per-hour winds, 100-mile-per-hour winds, not everything is going to withstand that. I'm not suggesting that. But there are, and trees falling on your home, obviously, you can't control that. In terms of like just having great materials. But there are things that you can do to prevent frivolous losses. And this is one of them. If you're already paying money to renovate the exterior of your home, do it the right way. Do it the right way the first time. Last, number seven here, if you have a crawl space or a basement, make sure moisture levels are where they need to be down there. You can get this inspected for like $100 if you want to self-inspect. and, you know, see if moisture levels are below 20% down there, go ahead and do it. Don't do it right after a rain. Moisture levels are going to be crazy. Do it, you know, when you had a rain maybe a week or two ago. That's a good metric for seeing, okay, how is this crawl space, how is this basement airing out? And if it's not, take measures. The inspector, if you pay for an inspector, they can tell you what they recommend. You might need a vapor barrier. You might need a dehumidifier. You might need all sorts of things. Who knows? Every situation is unique. But those are things that you can do, because if you start getting high moisture in there, that's going to potentially cause mold growth, which is not going to be covered by your homeowner's insurance. That can cause flooding down the road, which again is not going to be covered by your homeowner's insurance. Cause structural damage from all of these things, also not going to be covered. So there's all sorts of reasons why you want to do that. But if you make a claim and your homeowner's insurance finds that you you've got all sorts of mold in your crawl space, you could end up becoming uninsurable. And that's like the worst case scenario, right? Because I've already said you must have, many Americans must have homeowner's insurance because of their lender and other reasons. It's generally speaking a good idea to have homeowner's insurance. Those are some very practical things, hopefully, for you guys to make you feel like, okay, it's not completely out of my control. There are some things I can do that are well within my control in order to ensure that my homeowner's insurance premium doesn't just completely spiral out of control. So I hope that's helpful for you guys. If you have any questions, let me know. My contact information is in the show notes. Piper Insurance contact information in the show notes. They can discuss this with you in detail from the perspective of your premium, deductible, all of that kind of stuff. So please call them for a free quote today. And just a reminder, of course, please like, rate, review, subscribe, all those good things for the show. And we will talk again next time.